Well, he knows all about the scars that we have, and certainly he knows about the scars that he has. I want to start a new series, the Lord willing, I believe it's his will, on the ripple effect. The ripple effect. You know what that's like. You could just, for example, just it don't take much. Just drop something in there, and you'll see the water rippling out. And we're going to talk about that in the context of you, because we all have a ripple effect, and we all affect each other big time. What's so serious is for the good or the bad, okay? So we're going to talk about that today, and that is to go along with our vision, transforming our communities one person at a time, and the scripture I'm using is really based on that vision that we have, okay? And then today I've titled the message, Different to Make a Difference, okay? Different to make a difference. So if you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 12 is where we're going to be. Romans chapter 12, okay? Romans chapter 12. And let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. I love this scripture. It's powerful. It's the scripture that I chose to support the vision that we voted on Wednesday night. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and how your word will transform us. And I pray today the word of God will go forth sharper than a two-edged sword and be able to pierce and change our lives. Lord, we're asking for you to move in our lives. We want to make a difference in our world, so help us to be different. I pray for your Holy Spirit's anointing in this place. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you, may be seated. Talking about how one little thing can be transformed. You know, you think about the little transformers. You know, I don't know a lot about those because that came later. So I don't know a lot about transformers. But if you're familiar with the word, and which I disagree with, the word transformers. Each one starts out looking like one thing, then various parts move, so the whole thing becomes something totally different. Some parts stay the same, others change to take on the appearance of something with a different purpose. Maybe like a truck turning into a robot turning into a plane, however all that works. But the toy makes a good visual on how in real life I am not a transformer, but I'm transformable. So I think the right word to use for the transformer would be transformable, because what they call the transformer, it can't transform itself. Someone has to do it, okay? And so the true transformer is God. He's the only one that can change a life. I've preached a sermon years ago, why can't I change? Well, I can't change I. You can't change yourself. Only God can do that. And so I think the better word would be transformable. Christ has that transformable. He has the transforming power. And while this toy wouldn't resist me because it has no will of its own, we can resist our transformer out of fear of the unfamiliar, maybe because of our stubbornness, not being convinced that we need transforming, or out of ignorance, not knowing it's available to us. So how do we cooperate with our transformer? Of course, by faith, like everything else in the Christian life, we dare to be different, knowing it's far better for us to make a difference than just go through life and just settle for life. Do you want to live your life like that? Just settle for life? Or do you want to make a difference? I would think everybody here wants to make a difference. Would you like to know how you can make a difference in your world? It's easy to complain about the world, and everybody seems to do that really good. We complain about our economy, about our government. We complain about everything. We complain about the church. I mean, We by nature find ways to find fault, to complain about everything. But what if you could be an answer to the problem? Instead of talking about the problem, what if you were the solution? And dare say, that ripple effect, you could be. I was going to ask, I mean, we don't have the time, but just name the people in your life or people you know that have had an effect on you. And how one person can make all the difference. I think of Billy Graham and how just a dairy farmer, just a boy from Charlotte, through that one man, God touched the whole world. And no one, including Jesus Christ, has preached more than Billy Graham. Billy Graham's preached to more people than any person ever alive. He's preached literally, and one time he preached one sermon that literally went around the world at the same time with all the technology. So certainly that one person can make a big difference. So I want to share with you today on how you can make a difference. Number one, you got to be truthful. You got to be truthful. You got to be honest with yourself. That's what Paul is saying. He says, I beseech you. He says, I'm urging you. I'm entreating you. I'm pleading with you. I beseech you. And then he says in verse 2, that you may prove, that you may examine yourself. First, if we're going to be different, to make a difference, we have to be honest with ourselves. The inner nature comes to surface. The Holy Spirit helps us understand just who we are and whose we are. So I want you to think about it, these things. And I hope you don't get offended. That's not my intent. But I think, first of all, if we're going to transform our community, we got to make sure that we're transformed, okay? So being truthful, number one, you want to know that you're saved, okay? He says, I beseech you, brethren. Paul's writing to the brethren, those who are saved. We have to understand that before we can do what our vision says, we've got to make sure that we know without a doubt we're saved. How can we help someone else come to Christ if we don't have the full assurance? And there's a lot of people that have their doubts and their questions. I like what one senior saint told me many years ago, well, preacher, if you don't doubt it, you don't got it. You know, Satan will throw all the doubts he can in our mind. But we need, as Paul is saying here, he says, I beseech you, brethren. He's talking to those who know that they're saved. You might be the one to whose you're one. You know, you might be the person that says, you know, I want to make sure that I know the Lord. And it's okay if you own up to it and say, you know what, I'm just not fully assured. I'm a church member. I've been baptized, but I don't have the full assurance of my salvation. It's okay because we're going to help you to have that assurance. We want to help you. We're not here to condemn you. We want to help you to know that you're saved. I believe the number one reason, now this is my personal opinion, that people don't share their faith is because maybe they don't have it. That's my thinking. Because I'm going to tell you where my logic comes from. You can't keep it to yourself. It is so good, it will overflow. It's going to spill out of your mouth. You're going to tell someone, it's going to come out by accident. I mean, you're just going to say, oh, Jesus, he saved me. Oh, glory to God. I mean, something good's going to come out of your mouth because Jesus lives inside of you. Hello? You can't keep it to yourself. And then the word surrender. We're going to need to be truthful. He says that ye present your bodies. The verb present in this verse means present once and for all. Note that we are to present ourselves to the Lord. God may not answer our request if we don't answer the request he's making of us. And I often think about this, and just being truthful now, we're being truthful. Many people, many Christians ask, why don't God hear my prayer? Could it be because you haven't really got serious with God? You haven't surrendered your life to God? You're wanting God to do something in your life that you're not willing to do. We often get mad at God. Why, God, where are you? Well, where are you? I promise you this, God is more surrendered to you than you are to him. Amen? Sure he is. He loves you more than you love him. He loves you unconditionally. He wants not 99% of us. He wants 100%. It requires a definite surrender of the body, he says, to the Lord. He's talking about your bodies here, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Much like a bride and a groom in their wedding service, they commit and they surrender themselves to each other. It is this once and for all commitment that determines what they're going to do with their bodies. You see, prayer is surrendering our wills to God's will. The Christian body is God's temple because the Spirit of God dwells within him. It's our privilege to glorify Christ in our body, the Bible says, and to magnify the Lord through our body. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we need to treat our body like that. I wish I had more time, but I got to move quickly because I got to get to my main point today. And the next word is sacrifice. He says a living sacrifice. It's interesting, in the Old Testament, it was all about dead sacrifices. But in the New Testament, it's all about living sacrifices. Points to Christ. He died for us, but he rose again, and now he lives in us. He don't want you to die for him. He wants you to live for him, right? To be a living sacrifice. The sacrifice here is slain. Now, no one else can do it but you, but you've got to be willing to die to yourself every day so he can live his life through you. We lose all of our rights when we die to self. The sacrifice is whole. God will not accept a partial sacrifice because believers are to live rather than to die. Therefore, because we're living sacrifices, we have a tendency to slip off or crawl off the altar. That requires a daily deliberate decision to place oneself at God's disposal, to live sacrificially. We must die to self so that we can understand what a living sacrifice is. As I die to me, he resurrects his life through me, the life of Christ. It's no longer, Paul said, I that live, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And then I really want to get this word, is service. This is a word that's intentionally put here because I'm going to try to put that word in every sermon I preach from now on, because as of Wednesday night we talked about, we want to be a servant church. We want to have a servant culture in our church. Folks, if we are always focusing on us, if we're just looking at us, we're going to miss God every time. But if we'll think of others, God's Holy Spirit will be with us. Now I want you to know this word. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What does he say? Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now that word holy bothers people, but I want you to understand something. We're not talking about your holiness. We're talking about his holiness. And the word holy here means unique. And here's my point I want to make, that you are unique because God's holiness lives in you. Okay? He is holy. Now he said, be ye holy for I'm holy, because he is holy. He is holy. He lives in us. And the Greek word literally means unique, different. No longer are you to use your body for self-gratification over God's will. You're to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Well, what is your reasonable service? Well, literally the meaning is your spiritual service of pure worship. That's what he's talking about here. When he's talking about your reasonable service, it really means your spiritual service of pure worship. What we do in our service of worship affects the whole. That one seat in the choir that is not filled causes the whole choir to be off. I don't know nothing about music, but I know you've got parts. You've got bass and, I don't know, alto and tenor and whatever they all are. I know this, if there's one missing, it'll mess up the whole bunch. But it's true out here too. One missing, how it affects the whole. One usher that's not here to do his job. One person that's not here for Sunday school affects the whole Sunday school class. Did you know that those teachers prepare for every one of you? I thought that would go over like a lead balloon. Quiet in here. We're being truthful this morning. The truth of the matter is that ripple effect, that one, just a little pebble dropped in this water would cause that water to ripple out. And that's the thing that you and I have got to get clear in our mind. The one person who did not take their worship serious will affect the rest of it. Let me give you this. Galatians 5:9. A little leaveth, leaveth the whole lump. We're to serve wholeheartedly. The sins of omission. I don't know why we don't focus on that, because that's just as bad as the sins of commission. Amen? I want you to look at this next slide up here on the screen. It's a powerful word. You probably can't read it. Can you see that? No one lives or acts in isolation. One decision can impact individuals, families, and even a nation. And he mentions this. I don't know if you know about the account in Joshua 7:1, the sin of Achan, where God told the Israelites, do not take the spoils from another country. And Achan did that, and he hid it in his tent. It resulted in a national defeat in Joshua 7:2 through 12, and his family was put to death along with him. In contrast, a godly man's example can influence his great-grandchildren, Psalm 78:5 and 6. Every decision and action has a ripple effect that touches those around us. So don't you ever say this, well, this is my business and this is my sin. Your sin affects all of us. Even today, right now, we're sitting here in this worship service. And if you're sitting here and you're grieving or you're quenching God's Spirit, it hurts the whole church. In fact, look up here, folks. It will result in people not getting saved because we're quenching the Spirit. We're holding back. And you know, he's talking about giving your all in worship. I'm going to close talking about that because I just think it's so important. I'm going to come back to it in a minute. But we are his. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price, and we need to live different. We need to be different so we can make a difference. So that's what I want to talk about. I think I've offended enough people now on being truthful. So let's talk about being transformed, okay? Because he says, and be ye not conformed to this world. So there is the possibility that the world can control you. We're talking to Christians now, okay? I'll tell you this. I've been in this a long time, since I was 14 years old. And I'm astounded at where the church has gone in my lifetime. I personally think the church is worldly today. It is. The world has had its influence on us. In fact, I think a lot of our worship is worldly today. We've made it all about us. The music's got to be about us. We want the fireworks. We want to create an atmosphere of worship, so we're going to cut on our smoke and our fog machines. Folks, I personally believe there can be smoke in God's house. There can be a lot of fog when the presence of God shows up. Hello? I mean, you know, you say, well, we're trying to make something happen. I don't believe you should work people up in a false sense of praise. If it's not real, then keep your mouth shut. Amen? It should be so real, though, you can't keep your mouth shut because you've been transformed. The goal of transformation, and I'm taking this serious. I'm going to ask you to take it serious. And this is a challenge. You know, I'm like Paul. Paul said, I do those things I wish I didn't do, and what I do, I wish I didn't do what I did. And he's all mixed up. Paul says, what a wretched man I am. I feel like Paul a lot of times, don't you? But here's the truth of the matter is, the goal of transformation is for us to become more like Christ. And so my question to Gorge Springs Baptist Church, as we've adopted this new vision, shouldn't that be our goal if we're going to reach our community of transformation, transforming our communities one person at a time, that we first be transformed, that we first become more like Christ, that we become the godly church that he's called us to be? That's what he's saying here. Are y'all listening this morning? Say amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Well, how do they come new? And I like this point. God gave it to me, so I wrote it down. A reflection of his mercy. A reflection of his mercy. He says, by the mercies of God, be ye transformed. How? How are you going to be transformed? He says, and be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But he goes back, and you look up here. We're going to get the renewing of your mind. He says to the brethren, by the mercies of God. Think about God's mercy for a moment. We must be the extension of his life, the expression of his love, and exhibition of his power. His mercy is powerful enough to transform a life. Amen? He transformed you. No matter how sinful that life is, his mercy is more powerful. We can be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ because we are a reflection of his mercy. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians, I love this verse, 3:18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And you know this verse, Psalm 23, the last verse, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Folks, we're here today by the mercy of God. You know what? I think about this big storm that just sort of went right along our coastline. It could have come in so easy, and this building and all of our houses would be gone. But by the mercy of God, we're here today. Amen? Amen? God has shown His mercy and His grace. We take it for granted, but the Bible says we're to be a reflection because of His glory, the glory of His presence in our life. Think about His mercy this morning as far as being transformed. And then He also talks about being not conformed to this world. That's a releasing of the material. In other words, we got to let go of some stuff if we're going to enjoy who God is. He says, and be not conformed to this world. We need to be more like Christ and less like the world. Material things will conform you. Material things will possess you. You might think that you have possessions, but a lot of those possessions have you. I was 19. I offended a man in a sermon. I was hurt that I offended him. I did not know he was going to be there that Sunday. I was preaching the scripture in 1 John where it says, love not the world, neither things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And this man I'd recently led to Christ. He was very, very wealthy. And I did not know that Sunday that I was going to join him in a meal. And when we sat down, the first thing he said is, Pastor, I'm mad at you. And I said, Junior, what are you mad with me about? He said, you knew I was going to be here today and you preached that sermon. I said, well, number one, I didn't know you was going to be here today. It's summer. And what he was mad about, he had, let's see, two houses on the coast. He had a yacht. He had two boats. And he was a multimillionaire. And he had all this stuff. And he would tell me often, you know, a boat is nothing but a hole in the water to throw your money in. And he had a lot of investment down there. He said, you know I got all that stuff, and you preached that message just to me. Now, the truth of the matter is, I did not preach that message just to him. I didn't know he was even going to be there that Sunday. But you know what that man did? And this is the truth, or I'm not standing in this pulpit. God dealt with that dear man. He got convicted, sold the yacht, sold the boats, sold the houses. And I think with most of it, I don't know what it all came to. He gave a lot of it to the church, and we paid off our building. It's amazing what God will do. Now, yeah, the preacher gets the blame for it. But anyway, I didn't preach to that man. I know that day. I loved him, didn't know he was going to be there. But so many times, material things possess us more so than we possess them. They control us. I want you to look at this next slide. If we're to live lives that make a difference in the world, we must live lives that are different from the world. We must rise above the usual, like an eagle rise on the wings. It's difficult to soar with the eagles when you're walking with the turkeys. It's so easy to look and act like the world. Amen? That's raise, isn't it? Yeah, raise on the wing. Here's the thing, rise. Okay, first, here's 2 Corinthians 6:17. Therefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We will never win the loss, looking like the loss, acting like the loss, living like the loss. We're to be different so we can have the ripple effect upon their lives. The world will conform you into their image. Christ will transform you into His image. And you say, well, now, preacher, you just preached to us last week that we're supposed to go out here and reach the world, but that don't mean you live like them. Okay? How are we going to reach them if we're doing the same things they're doing? Hello? Y'all listening to me, church? We've got Jesus loves sinners. We can love the sinner, but we're not to live in the sin, okay? That's the difference right there. And you're to be that difference. You're to be the salt. You're to be the light. It's difficult to soar with the eagles when you're walking with the turkeys. You've got to be different. You've got to live different. And that's what he's saying. Be different. Then the last thing is the renewing of the mind. This is important. The renewing of our minds. He says, but ye are transformed, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The world is either conforming you to their way of thinking, or you're being transformed by the power of God to the renewing of your mind. Can God transform your mind? Yes, He can. How does it happen? Well, number one, the Word of God. Amen? I mean, the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. The Word of God can transform your way of thinking. As the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Here's our problem. In our brains, literally, there are patterns or ruts of thinking. And we've thought this way, and that's why the older you get, the harder it is to change your mind about things. You don't like change because you've got your mind made up. It's hard to teach senior citizens anything. They've already decided it. I've always said, put your easy teachers with the seniors. They already know what they believe. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. What I'm saying is that we need to be transformable. And if we're going to be transformable, then we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to renew our mind. Well, what's all involved in this? This is some good stuff that you and I need to talk about. Because you see, thinking like God results in living like God. As a man thinketh, so is he. Okay? So this is important stuff. The world wants to control your mind, but God wants to transform your mind. It all comes from the English language as the word metamorpho. It describes a change from within. I saw a billboard this week on All-American Boulevard. Maybe you've seen it. It caught my eye. It simply read this: the battle is won from within. The battle is won from within. I thought, wow, that's a great statement to put near a military base. The battle is won from within. The world wants to change your mind, so it exerts pressure from without. But the Holy Spirit changes your mind by releasing power from within. The Greek word is metamorpho, which literally means to change into another form, from which we get our word metamorphosis. Used as an illustration, the change of form that takes place with a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. Now, this is important that you hear this. We must get in our mind that we are no longer caterpillars. I mean, when you get saved, the devil would love to tell you, oh, you're just still a worm, you're still a caterpillar, and you'll end up going back on that branch, wrapping yourself up in a cocoon, thinking, well, I'm just a caterpillar and I'll never make the difference for anything. But you're not a caterpillar. Friend, God has made you a butterfly, and you've got gold and blue and yellow and black wings, and you can fly. And bless God, it's about time that you and I learn that we got some wings and we can fly. He saved us to set us free to no longer live like this old world. And we need to get our minds made up on that. Every decision and action has a ripple effect. And how could that be contagious? If just one person in this church would have revival, it would affect all of us. Maybe you're that one. Hello? We're asking who's your one. Well, maybe you're the one for revival to break loose. I'm believing by homecoming we're going to be in a revival. I am. I've decided I'm going to have revival whether y'all want it or not. Okay? You know what? And you can do that. You can decide that, right? Every person, you make the decision. In other words, that's what he's saying here. Let God renew your way of thinking. Don't think like the world thinks, and you won't act like the world acts. That's an important concept, that we are no longer caterpillars. We're butterflies. And then last of all, and I'm glad I said that, we're flying like eagles, not living like turkeys. That being said, we must be triumphant. The last thing I want to say to you, this is quick today, triumphant. We're talking now about a work of God. Now, there's a big difference. You're talking about a difference, being difference makers. And I want to challenge you to be a different maker. If we're going to be different makers, let me tell you something. There's a difference between a work of God and a work for God. So many churches are doing a work for God. Wouldn't it be great if we could see a worker of God? Are y'all listening? Say amen. Amen. A work of God. In other words, something that only God can do. He says that ye may prove what is that good. The Greek word for prove is meso. It means to examine, to try, to test. Talking about a difference. Here's something that you and I ought to do right now. If we are to examine every good work in us, it would be because, and this would be our conclusion, well, it was God. Any good thing that happened in you is because God did it, amen? Not because you did it, but the glory of God, he worked his good work in and through you. And the day you got saved, that was a good work, amen? And now he didn't stop. He just started the day you got saved, amen? You are still, there's a work of God taking place in you. Do you believe that? There is a metamorphosis. The trans transforming power of God at work in your life and in my life, changing us from glory to glory, that we would be more like him. I'll tell you what he's got in mind here. Here's the picture that I got, that you are worshiping God in such a way, you're so involved in who God is that you can't see anything that the world has to offer. I mean, you've got blinders on. You're so focused on God, nothing else matters. He's the Lord of your life. He's the King of your life. King Jesus, he's taken over, and you're his servant, and you're submitting to his authority in your life. The work of God. I love this. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So this next slide I want you to look at is, I'm challenging you, dare to be a difference maker. Look up here. Do you want to live your life and never make a difference? Man, there are a lot of people, they're just settled for a settle for life. Hello? They've just got their life in neutral. I've had some members of churches that tell me, "Oh, well, what's going to happen is going to happen." No. If you don't get involved in it, you want your prayers answered, you're praying for a job, fill out an application. Prayer's never passive, it's active. You've got to get involved in this thing. We're praying for this community service tonight. Well, I'll tell you what kind of community service we're going to have, as much prayer we put in it. Now, it's important that we believe God for a great movement tonight. And wouldn't it be great that that will be the first collective thing we've done in the Family Life Center. I'm talking about as a church, this is our first activity. Isn't it great that we're joining with other churches? I just think that's awesome. Awesome. We're gonna dare to be different and to be difference makers, because God has done his work in us. And then the thing I really want to get to right now, I'm excited about, is the worship of God. Because that's really what Paul is pointing to in all this. He's saying, I mentioned with your reasonable service, but he's also saying what is acceptable. What is acceptable is our spiritual worship is right before God. Now think about it. Worship is being bound to the altar and then being consumed by the Lord. When we are consumed upon the altar, we are transformed. We are to be living sacrifices, offering up the sacrifice of praise to our God. We are to be transformed. Folks, I believe that verse that says that we're being from glory to glory. We've got our focus so much on Jesus. I mean, our eyes are so focused, looking into Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We don't see nothing else. Our gaze is on God. Our glance is on everything else. We're just gazing. We're focused on God. Now, that is real transformation. Transformation, because you can't focus on God and not be transformed. We are the transformed. That should mean that there's a holy glow about us, a joyful smile on our face, Holy Ghost goosebumps running up and down our spines, stepping out like we're stepping all up to glory, arms in the air because his presence is so near and dear to us that we just reach out and touch him and give him a great big hug. Our worship should never, ever be dead. We serve a living God. We are presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice in worship. We are triumphant because we serve a triumphant King, King Jesus. What I'm trying to get you to understand, I believe I'll just have a spell. I mean, folks, I'll tell you, it should involve our whole being, our whole body. I'll tell you, I grew up in a church where I saw people do this, and I believe God just moved mightily. I mean, I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, and every Sunday, there was one little old lady. Her name was Miss McLaurin. She sat right over here. But I sat on the back pew. Average attendance in that church was 400 to 500. I sat on the back pew. I was just a young boy. And I thought, Lord, what is wrong with that woman? The whole service, she was just like this. I'm not kidding. That little lady, and she had those cloggers on, too. She could clog. On the other side, there was Miss Balkin. And Miss Balkin sat about where Faye was sitting. And she couldn't get up. She was an elderly lady. And she'd been through a lot physically. And I was sitting way back over there. And I always thought Miss Balkin, I thought she laughed during church. Because here's how she worshiped. She was crying. You say, preacher, it sounds like your church was pretty active, yeah? It was an act. But you know what I saw in that church growing up? Paul Jones was my pastor, and y'all know Paul. It was like revival every Sunday. People got saved almost every Sunday. God was at work because the people worshiped God. You say, preacher, are we going to have to start crying? Are we going to have to start stomping our feet? No, I just think you got to be you and worship God with all your heart, okay? And you know what? If it comes out in your feet, because I remember Miss McLaurin, and I wanted to be a good preacher boy because I was considered a little preacher boy back then. I was about 14 years old, and Miss McLaurin went blind. I'll never forget this. So I was going to be really spiritual one day, and I was going to read Romans chapter 8 to her. And I read the chapter to her, and I missed a word. I'm not lying. And Miss McLaurin said, son, you missed a word. She had it all memorized. Now, she was blind, but she knew the word of God. How is it? Was that an act? No, she had so much of Jesus, she was trying to deal with it. I mean, how do you deal with all the presence when you're in the presence of God? And that dear, everybody, and by the way, you need to know this, in that church, that did not stand out. That was every Sunday. That was the norm. And that should be normal, where people are just real before God. You know what we need? We need a baptism of the Holy Ghost that just gets all over us. That, you know what? We don't care what anybody else thinks. There's nothing wrong, church, with lifting your arms saying, I love you, Lord. Give me a hug, God. I mean, your presence is so real right now in this worship service. I can just feel you. I can feel you. I can just reach out and touch you. Church, I believe God's real. I believe worship is real. And we shouldn't just go through the motions. Hello? It should never be a false sense of praise. It should be an overflow of what God has done for us. And then last but not least is the will of God. He says, and perfect will of God. The Greek word for will is thelema. It means desire. It means decision. Well, here's a good word for us to close on today to make a good decision concerning the will of God. Micah 6:8. So if I call you up at 3:00, in the morning, I probably would find one deacon awake, I know. I want you to memorize this scripture, Deke. Micah 6:8, I believe it sums up the perfect will of God for us. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. God made us to be different. You hear what I'm saying? Now listen to me. I'm speaking for some reason. I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm speaking to the deacons right now. I love our deacons. We had a wonderful meeting this week. God moved mightily. And yes, one of our deacons is up studying his Bible at 3:00 every morning. He really does before he goes to work. And I'm going to ask you to commit that verse to memory, Micah 6:8. I believe God is at work, and God wants to do something. We want to see a work of God, then we've got to do the worship of God, and we've got to do the will of God. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. God's will is that we operate as one body, and God has made us all different so he can make us one. Did you hear what I just said? I'm done. God, this is God's will. He's made us all different so he can make us one. One last slide and I'm done. Just as ripples spread out with a single pebble is dropped into the water, the actions of individuals can have far-reaching effect. What you and I do as individuals affects the whole body of Christ. If you see me at a restaurant and I'm drinking a beer and I'm having some wine, that would upset you. I've had people say, preach. Now, I've never taken a drink. I can honestly stand in this pulpit and tell you I've never taken a drink of alcohol. That's not because I'm holier than you are. It's just God's kept me from the stuff. But I think about these things. What if I was to do something? I'm not going to say drinking a glass of wine is going to cause you to go to hell, but I am going to say this. It can make your brother stumble. I guarantee you I would make somebody stumble, but you would too. You and I are to be different if we're going to make a difference. Amen? So I'm going to challenge you. to live a separate life from the world. He says that's what our worship does. He says a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is reasonable service. That's your spiritual worship. You're giving your work. And by the way, our worship service can never be any better here than what it is every day for you. Did y'all hear me? If you want to know if the church service has been dead for you today, that's because you haven't been worshiping all week long. You say, Preacher Ronnie, when you get up there and preach and you have your spells, do you do that every day? Every day. Ask Sherry. Man, I don't know where we were. We were listening to some song and she thought I had lost it. I could read her mind. My husband's crazy. I just couldn't contain it. Were we in the car? Is that where? And I started to shout, "Woo! Glory! Thank you, Jesus." What was the song? I don't know, but it just stirred me up. And I have done this in Charlotte. I looked at my speedometer one time. I was going 85. I got a little too excited. Thank God. You know, I've never had a speeding ticket. That's the mercy of God right there, because I deserved it. You ever been so focused that you just forget? Don't look at me like you're spiritual, Ganesh. I've ridden with you, brother. You fly. Y'all know Ganesh? We were going to a hockey game one night. We got there in just a few minutes, I mean, from the church. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. What God could do through just one life surrender. D.L. Moody said, I'll be that man. D.L. Moody shook the world because he said, I'll just be that one surrender. Why don't you just make up your mind today? We're going to sing the song, one of my favorite songs for some reason, because I know Jesus is the only one that can transform a life. I'm going to invite you right now to come to Jesus. And if you don't know him as your Savior and your Lord, he's real. He'll transform you. There is no question about what he can do. Now, the world will conform you into their image, but Jesus will transform you into his image. Amen. Father, I thank you for this church. I love these people enough to tell them the whole truth, so help me God, to be truthful, Lord, to be transformed, and to be triumphant. That's my desire as we launch this vision, transforming our communities one person at a time. We want to have a ripple effect that will change this whole community. And all it takes is one life surrendered. Only one who would walk this aisle today and say, you know, I want to be that person. I want to be different so I can make a difference. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand and sing together.